Today's recording is L'schus the Refuah Shleim in honor of the complete healing of Kalcha, Bas Shena Sima, may she live a long and happy and healthy life, by her daughter Sarya Skarivka Bas Kalcha. One of the most interesting things about our lives is the fact that we're not constant. We're not constant flat beings. We're always fluctuating. And that applies to all areas of our life, relationships, moods, jobs, self-control versus binge-watching, and so too when it comes to our relationship with Hashem. We're always fluctuating. No created finite being that's authentic could ever be always exactly the same. If you're alive, you're in flux, as of course represented by your heartbeat. And that's why the Hasidic books explain why the Beis HaMikdash, why the Temple in Jerusalem, doesn't just have one level of holiness. The temple in Jerusalem has fluctuating holiness. There are different sections in the temple. Very, very generally, there are three main sections of the Beis HaMikdash. When you first enter the gates into the Beis HaMikdash, into the temple area, the courtyard, you first enter that first gate. That's what's known as the Azara. The Azara, although surrounded already by walls, is still under the sky, and that's where the altar, the Mizbeach, is, where animals would be brought as sacrifices. When you then go further and enter the building of the temple, you enter the actual door, the structure, you enter what's called the Heichal, literally translated as the palace. When you enter the Heichal, that's where you would see the menorah, the golden altar upon which the incense was brought, and the showbread table. And then, finally, when you go further in, is of course the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Ark of the Covenant stood, the Holy Ark that had in it the tablets that Moses brought down from Sinai, and of course the cherubs on top of the Ark. These three main sections of the Azara, the Heichal, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the courtyard, the palace, and the Holy of Holies, the Kabbalah explains, represent the three main types of states of reality that there is. The Azara, the outer courtyard, corresponds to the created worlds, what's called Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. These represent the created worlds where God created worlds filled with independent, finite beings. In other words, the outer courtyard represents those realms that we're used to, of course, but where angels are as well, where there are created worlds, created independent beings. Or more precisely stated, beings that feel themselves to be independent, something other than God. And that's why in this section was the Mizbeach, was the altar, because by humans ascending the altar with animal, vegetative, and inanimate sacrifices, this was, so to speak, the way these independent beings would ascend up to higher levels to God. The altar, the Mizbech, remember, beam me up, Scotty? The altar actually beamed up humanity, animals, vegetative and inanimate life, independent beings, into the higher realms. The Heichal, the palace, represents the world of Atzilus. The world of Atzilus means a world where everything that exists is felt to be completely unified with the divine light and a manifestation of it. Atzilus is a world, but it's a world where everything is only felt to be revelations of God's light. And then, of course, there's the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies is God as in His essence, not manifesting in any way whatsoever. That's the Holy of Holies. But you understand that these three main realms are not three distinct places. They're three different states of reality. Created worlds, independent being, so to speak, is the way we see reality right now. But the world of Atzilus, where everything that is created is just felt to be a manifestation of God's light, is here. We're within the world of Atzilus. And of course, God's essence is really all there is. So these three sections of the temple are three fluctuating states of reality. Entering, so to speak, these three levels of the temple, going in the temple further and further in, is being beamed up into higher levels of consciousness and awareness, and how much one becomes included and feels that one is completely included and nullified within God. That's what it means to enter the temple. And lest you're wondering and asking, but even if the temple is around, if we're not Kohanim, we don't go into the temple. But you understand that every single time we pray the morning prayer is entering the temple. The Psukei Dezimra, the verses of praise that we begin davening, according to the Kabbalah, the first parts of davening, seemingly the beginning of davening, you're just praising God. You're not talking to God. You're not asking anything God. If you ever pay attention to Psukei Dezimra, the first parts of davening, you're not talking to God per se. You're praising God because that's the part of davening. We're created independent beings, are beginning the process of ascending to God. That's why during Psuk Dezimra, we mention, if you pay attention, we mention the sun and the moon and the stars, Hehar Mechol Gvois, the hills and the mountains and trees and birds and creepy crawler creatures and humanity. All of these things are praising God because Psuk Dezimra is where we first enter the temple. We enter the courtyard. We're ascending upon the altar, the Mizbech, to come closer to God. We're beginning the process of being beamed up. Until we come to Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema is where we meditate on Yichud Ilah in the world of Atzilus. Kriya Shema is when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad. We meditate on the unity of Hashem. How everything is within the light of God. That everything is just a manifestation of God's light. That all of reality is just God revealing Himself. We're just a reflection of God. That's the world of Atzilus. We've entered the Heichal, the palace. That's what Kriya Shema is. Until, of course, we come to Shemoneh Esrei, where we stand still and don't utter a word. We're in complete silence within God. We have to ask God actually to open our lips for us because we've entered the Holy of Holies, where all that exists is God. There's no manifestation. There's just God. And Shemoneh Esrei is being part of that Holy of Holies. And if you're wondering, so how could it be that if davening is prayers is supposed to do this, how come we could be saying these words for 10, 20, 40, 60 years and it doesn't have that effect? The answer is because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That's exactly what the Beis HaMikdash is about. When the Beis HaMikdash is around, then light dances at the center of my life. Then our prayer service is more effective than when we would pray. We would actually metaphysically be feeling in our consciousness and awareness that we were entering the temple, entering the Heichal, entering the Holy of Holies, becoming one with Hashem. That's what the Beis HaMikdash does. But one of the ways to hasten that ability to once again have the consciousness awareness is to now yearn for that vision of the temple. By now, by davening, as the Hasidic masters say, at least try to picture in our minds the Holy Temple. Picture in our minds, as Rabbi Melch from Lezhensky explains, that we're entering into the Holy of Holies. To actually imagine in our mind the structure of the temple and the gradual fluctuation of holiness that allows us to ascend. And that will make that, therefore, when we pray and meditate on these concepts, they will become more real because we're connecting it to a physical space in Jerusalem, in the world. And this will allow that our fluctuation, our being alive, will include the experience of ascending into God, which is what ascending into the temple is. May we see it today.